Well, today we're looking or continuing that series on Come Away With Me. Jesus told his disciples, you know, after they had come back from their ministry of two by two going out and coming back, they were so excited about what had happened and how things had happened and changed. And Jesus, you know, the crowds are around him. Jesus says, all right, guys, let's come away with me for a while, okay? Let's just go away for a while and spend some time. And so that this whole series, I believe this is number six, is based on that idea of Jesus saying, come away with me. Come spend some time with me. So this in John 15:16, it is not that you have chosen me, but it is I who have chosen you. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, that will be lasting. So one of the things that's so important in this verse is to understand you didn't choose God. He chose you, and you responded. You see, the understanding is sometimes we think, well, we choose to go to church. We choose to, you know, put our name on a list and be a member or whatever. We choose to be baptized. We think it's all our initiative. But God is the one, Jesus is the one, he says, I chose you. So before it all began, I chose you. Now, whenever, you know, when I'm thinking of this and then thinking about over the, you know, 50 years ago and how things got started here in Wimber and how that we came and, you know, how that the things at the hospital came about with, you know, Reverend Gaiman, Church of the Brethren Minister, maybe heard about it, I don't know, probably 100 times. But Reverend Gaiman was Church of the Brethren Minister, and he was in Indiana, PA, and my brother went to, you know, was going to IUP at the time, and he went to his church for his college students' Bible study. And then Reverend Gaiman knew my father, mom, and the farm. He'd been out there. And then he retired here. And then he heard that I was coming. And so we came, and the minister's ministerium was waiting for her, waiting for us, waiting for me, he was. And he wanted me to kind of join him in the whole process of being a chaplain at the hospital and learning hospice. It was a new thing. Rhonda was here Sunday. She was called Sunday afternoon, right? We were here Sunday, and she was called Sunday afternoon. There's a superintendent in Central City. He wants you to call him first thing on Monday morning. And so, boom, you know, there was a superintendent from Catani moved to Central City, and he called her to be a long-term sub. I mean, not even the first day. And so she was ready to go on that. And then, of course, we walked across the street and took Rachel to kindergarten or first grade, and they said, you're a teacher. Oh, we know where we can get a sub. And they called, and said, no, we're busy. We're busy. They said, how do you know these people? So they hired her the next year for a part-time, long-time sub or something. So, but it was from the very first week that you couldn't have planned these things. You know, the things that were put in place around our arrival. And so it just was the perfect thing to do. Now, at the time, you know, we were talking to a couple that was the pastor before us, Lowenses. Do you remember them? Yeah, they're in Springfield now. But they, you know, we had known his wife, but I couldn't remember him. But anyhow, he was talking about being here and, you know, and all the things going on. And Pastor Lowenses, Jim and Kathy Lowenses, yeah. So, but, you know, they had to feel the move to move someplace else. Did you ever think about how that the places where we're going, somebody's already there, and they have to move out so you can move in? You know, and it's like, well, I can't go there, I can't do this, but, you know, but what happens is the door opens. Our grandkids, they just, like, won't say they walked into it, But my grandson, he, you know, he finished his first year of technical school, and he looked and saw this ad for a underground drilling for pipes and stuff that they put in gas lines and power lines. They drill and they pay him a weekly allowance to live. He's not around home. He's in Iowa or someplace. They pay him so much a day to eat. They pay him overtime to be there on weekends. And he can't go home because he'd have to go clear back to Missouri. So he gets time and a half. He never did tell me how much he makes. But and Emma, she walked into it. She had a boyfriend, and his father owns the electric company, owns the power company or something. Anyhow, he owns a company, and it's a union company. And Emma was hired right after school, high school, and she's already, hopefully, a journeyman. She's gone through her first procedure and being able to join the union, and she'll be a union worker. And maybe, I don't know, if it's, she's already had the interview, and she thought it went well. But how do you prepare for all of these things? And how do you, you know, because Dave and Jenny had to leave Hartsburg, where they lived, and they had a house on the lake, and they were just, you know, and David says, we're moving. They were moving to, up the road to a house, and it all fell through. And so Jenny's friend lives in Missouri, and they got a condo a couple blocks from her friend, and everything changed. So they had to make the move. So we don't understand sometimes about how that God in his providence is at work in our life. Sometimes it just seems like it's the same old thing. It's the same old thing. And we're just kind of plodding along. But it's not. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And he has not abandoned us. He has chosen us. So this idea of chosen is extremely important. So if I could say, yeah, you're chosen. You did not choose me. I have chosen you. So from slaves to friends, from fishermen to apostles, I have chosen you, Jesus tells the disciples. And he is reminding his disciples that their relationship with him began with his initiative. The disciples, Jesus is reminding them what their relationship with him began with him, with Jesus. So without Jesus, they wouldn't have a relationship. He's the one who called them. You know, if you were looking for 12 guys to, you know, head up a religious movement that's going to change the world, I don't think you would go looking at a fishing village. You know, maybe look in the palace and look someplace where the educated people are. But no, he went to these fishermen and tax collectors, you know. He went to these places that and called people that were not necessarily the best of, you know. They graduated from high school with a few bricks short of a load. They didn't have high school. I just thought I'd tell you that. So the relationship began with his initiative, his calling, not theirs. Same way with us. Before they ever followed him, he called him. Before they even recognized who he was and what he was here for, he called them, and they had enough sense to follow. That's the point I think for ourselves is, when do we have enough sense to move, to step to the side, step to left or right? You know, you can't change directions. You can't go left or right at the T until you get to the T in the road. You got to hit the wall or hit the T, and then you go left or right. So whenever we're worried about how we're going to make that decision, we don't need to worry about it until we get there. So before they understood everything, Jesus, he called them. You don't understand. We don't understand the things of life. And especially now in our world, in our society, all the things that's going on, we can't, what's it all about? And we are looking to the scriptures. The one thing that that is so important is the scripture says that we have the word, the scriptures. We have the word, and that's the anchor to our mind, our heart, our soul. Whatever will happen in the world around us, Jesus has given us his word to protect us, and we need to insert his word to our problems and difficulties, because his word is eternal, and we are responding to temporal things. You know, all these things are going to pass away. Heaven and earth are going to go away, but his word will never pass away. His word gives us the strength for living and for doing and making decisions. So before they understood, he called them. Before they were strong enough to accomplish what he would ask them to do, he called them. So it was the beginning. It was Christ bringing them into a place where they could learn, where they could hear the voice of God, where they could learn what Jesus was about. And to think about it, those guys, they thought they were going to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. He was going to set up a kingdom like the Romans. He's going to drive out the Romans, set up a kingdom, and here we are. We're going to rule with him. And Jesus says, you're missing the boat, Peter. And you're missing the boat on this. That's not what I'm about. So for us, it's, I still think we have our own thoughts about how it should be, how things should turn out, and but we need to trust. We need to trust that God is leading us each step of the way. So did you ever have a pickup team? Everybody line up and you got two individuals picking their team. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. Well, we find that we sometimes look at ourselves and think, God, why did you choose me to be on your team? we know that the teams, what it depended on what you were playing. It was basketball or baseball or roller, whatever, come right over, something or other like that, whatever it was. So, was it? Red Rover, that's it. Some dog name. Red Rover. So God has called us to be on his team. We're not the last one on the list. We're the first one on the list. Because he chooses us first. We said, well, what about everybody else? He chooses them first. Because in the kingdom of God, there are no seconds. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it's like a pyramid, and we are to have God first in our life above everything else. So seek God first. All these things will be added unto you. Well, God chooses us first. So in the heart of God, there are no seconds. There are no distant cousins. There are only children. And there are only his child that he called, born into the kingdom of God. So why would God want me? Maybe we know too much about our own weaknesses, or we know our failures, and we would say, all these things disqualify me. Not to God, not to Jesus. Maybe we could remember the things that we could undo, and that doesn't work. But no, Jesus does not say, Now Jesus does not say, I choose you because you are perfect. He says, I choose you because your usefulness to God does not begin with a perfection that you think of as being 100% complete. Peter was chosen even though Peter would deny him. Thomas was chosen even though Thomas would struggle with doubts. And the disciples, they were chosen even though they would all run away at the crucifixion. Jesus knew all of this and he still chose them. Because God, he knew what the Spirit could do in their life. God knows what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. It's not your past successes or failures. He knows what you will do, be able to do in your life. I guess a compliment was my roommate from college, from Bible school. We were in the group that I taught at the workshop at the chaplaincy. He came and see how his old roommate did, and that we were they were the long story short, they were to choose a word that was that would suit their feeling for that moment, and his word was surprised, you know. And afterwards he said, "You wrote a book. You're doing lessons and you're doing presentations at a national conference. Who would have ever thought?" You know, who would have ever thought you would be doing that? You know, but the idea, you know, it wasn't that derogatory, but you know, they were all. But that's the whole point. God knows where you're going, and God knows what you're going to do, and all of these things. Never thought of them as being extra special. You know, how do you get something special? You put a little extra in it. And you have it as an extra special. So your extra special is the little things that you do, and you do them with your talent, your ability, and with who you are as a person. That's the extra that God, the Holy Spirit, places in us. So we have this initiative. Now, when we're going through it, when, you know, you're going through all this stuff at the hospital and counseling and, you know, all the things happening around you in the community and church and all the stuff that goes around, and it's a day, you know, day by day, month by month, year by year. What is God doing? He is leading you step by step, and he's putting inside of you certain things that you will use and need in your future. So the truth that God has for us is that he says that I have chosen you. So our usefulness to God does not begin with our perfection. Our usefulness to God doesn't begin with perfection. It begins with his grace. He looks beyond our fault, sees our need. If the need in your life is met, what can you achieve? If the need in your life is met, what can you achieve? So there's more to your life than the needs that you face. It's that God is able to meet every need according to his riches and glory. So there's no withholding. There's no withholding. And so Jesus knew all of this. So God knows you completely, and he still calls you. He knows you completely, and he still calls you. You get the numbers, you don't answer. Spam. Who's spam? I don't know, but he must taste good. He calls me all the time. So being chosen does not mean that God approves of everything we do. You know, he chose us because he knows what we can become. He knows what his Spirit and his Word in us can do, and how it can change us. So That his grace is greater than our sin. His grace is greater than our past. His grace is greater than our talents. It's greater than our limitations. So we're looking at a God who is infinite, and he is looking at us and saying, hey, I got this. You need this? I got this. See what your need is and ask God to meet that need, and you will find how that God is working. So you don't have to manufacture significance. You know, it's always good to know things. It's always good to study, but you don't have to manufacture. You don't have to prove yourself to God. You don't have to become somebody else because he made you the way you are. Now, we got limitations, but that's God gives to us things that will meet the needs for us to become who he has called us to be. So we don't have to become somebody else for God's approval. Jesus states that we are to abide in him, like a branch connected to the vine. We are to receive his love and listen when he says, I have chosen you. So we're grateful for that choice. Being chosen carries purpose. You know, one of Rhonda's nephews, there were two brothers, and one was on the smaller side. He was fast. He was quick on his feet. He wanted to play football, but he wasn't big enough. He did play college soccer, but his brother was the big one. You know, he's the big one. He's going to play football. He sat on the edge of the bleach, on the edge of the bench, and said, I don't want to go in, coach. I don't want to go in, coach. He didn't like it. So his physical ability, his physical size, should have said, he's the one. But, you know, and then the other one, oh, no, he can't. But it ended up being just the opposite. And we find that in our life, it isn't what we look at that says, this is going to be. It's like whenever they chose Saul to be king. He looks like a king. You know, he's tall and handsome, and he commands attention. And he runs and hides whenever he was called. And, you know, David, he's a nobody. See, David, and we'll close with this one. I always like the illustration of David. Because when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, I think there was six, seven of them, don't remember. And Jesse would go to the oldest one, the biggest one, you know. And someone used the illustration, I don't know how true it is, but he took a bottle of oil, and he was going to anoint them with the oil for the kingship, but the oil wouldn't come out. And then he went on down the line to every one of the sons of Jesse. The oil would not flow. And Samuel says to Jesse, do you have another one? And they said, oh, you don't want him. He's just a runt. He's out there watching the sheep. He doesn't really amount to much. And Samuel says, bring him in. So they brought the runt in, and the oil flowed. That was David. And David, whenever he went to fight Goliath, his brother says to him, what are you doing here? Why aren't you back watching the sheep like you're supposed to be? And, of course, we know that David took down Goliath. And everything changed in a day. Everything changed in a moment. And it started his life to be lined up to be the king of Israel and the greatest king. And so we find that in our life, it isn't what we look like, but it's that we're chosen. And being chosen is what God does, and you can't change it. You can refuse. I'm not going in there to be anointed. I don't want to. No. You can refuse it, but you can't change it. You have been chosen. chosen by God to be his child, and he has promised to work everything out to the good for those who love him. And so the choices that we make are allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, allowing the presence of God to be in our life, allowing God to speak to our hearts and our minds in a very special way that makes us different than those who don't know God. Because we know where we're going. We know who holds our hand. We know who holds tomorrow. Sing the song. And we know who watches over us every moment of every day. So no matter what happens in life, we are safe in the arms of our Father. We know that that security is there because God has chosen you. You didn't choose me, God says. I chose you. And you responded. And here we are walking with God. And we're going to walk with him through every day of our life. And when the time comes, we're going to walk right into heaven. And we're going to be safe there for eternity. Because we're in the hands of God and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? I don't know. Amen? Amen, all hundreds and thousands and whatever of you. It's all good. Let's all stand, shall we? Special needs. Do you have a special need? Okay. Okay. Problem with the hip? Anyone else? Family took off. went to the beach. Went beaching. So that's good. No, we're on vacation. It's good. Yeah. Lots of things, and just for your families. God, I thank you. I thank you that you've chosen us, and Lord, the effectual fervent prayer. Our prayers matter in the everyday things of life, in the everyday workings of life. God, you speak to us by your word. Your spirit speaks to us in our relationship with you and with those who are around us, where we work. Where our neighborhood, where our family. God, we just pray that you would bless each individual, each person in our family. Pray that you would bless them, cover them with your blood. Keep them safe. Watch over them, we pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have chosen us to serve you. And we are grateful, Lord, that nothing can separate us from you. You have a plan, you have a purpose, and you are working that plan in us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.